It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Here we are, alive and well. Wes Moss here every Sunday morning. Ryan Healy here, producer of Money Matters. Take your calls and questions, patch them through, filter out to see if it's something that we should be talking about here on Money Matters. And the answer is usually yes. Hey, that's a pretty good financial question. Let's see if we can answer it. Luke Moss here with me. How old are you now? Eight, Luke?
Eight.
You're eight now? Okay. Good morning. Well, and I've always got a kind of bribe Luke to come in. I mean, sometimes he wants to do it, sometimes not, but it's fun to have my kids be able to come into the studio now. And they're old enough that it's not like a daycare like it used to be when they're running around and yelling, even though I'm on the air. So good morning, welcome to Money Matters. The number here in the studio, we're going to go right back to the phones here. A lot of great calls and questions. I think the rainy weather, the foggy day has sparked something inside of our listeners to say, man, it's time to, let's just call into that financial radio show, Money Matters, and let's see if we can get some direction on what we've been thinking about as a family. Maybe it's a retirement question or has to do with your Roth or your IRA or your mortgage. Maybe it has something to do with early retirement, and or it's just an investment question. What do we do with this stock or this mutual fund or this ETF? What do you think about energy stocks, Wes? I don't know. Whatever you're thinking, we're happy to have a conversation with you today, point you in the right direction as objectively as humanly possible here on a Sunday morning. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Again, the number in the studio, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. All right, we're going to start with Sean, who joins us from Jonesboro. Sean, good morning. Welcome to the show. How can we help?
Good morning. I'm going to try and keep this as quick as I possibly can. I'm retiring in about 2 months. I have a 457B, and I've got about $130,000 in it right now. My wife and I are thinking of taking that money on retirement and paying off everything that allows us to pay off our house, car, any debts that we have. And I'm concerned about tax liabilities, and that's what I want to ask you about, because I'm going to continue working after I retire. I'm actually retiring early.
Got it. So where are you retiring from, Sean?
I'm a police officer, and actually I'm going to another police department, so I'll be continuing to work full time.
Oh, awesome. Okay, so do you so you're retiring though. Tell me a little bit how that works. Does your pension accrual just continue? You just continue years of service, or is it a separate entity?
It's separate, and I'll be drawing immediately. So I'll be drawing my retirement from the department I'm at now. And then, of course, I'll be going to another agency, and I'll be getting a full-time check from them as well.
Oh, wow. I didn't know it worked that way. So a police officer to the department, and there are two separate entities.
Correct.
Got it. All right. So how many more years? How old are you, Sean?
53.
Well, you're young. And the reason when I say young in the context here is that one of my top five rules to as you head into retirement, either whether you're 65 or 70 or you're an early retiree, particularly mm-hmm. early retirees, is to pay off the mortgage. So one of the five key principles to being able to retire early, one of them has to do with the mortgage, getting rid of it, paying it off before you stop working completely. And that's what you're trying to do here, obviously. Yeah. And it's super important. So I love that you're doing that and thinking about it. What you don't want to do has to do with, you don't want to use retirement money to do that. And I think you said this earlier, really, because it becomes a tax issue. And in your case, it's exacerbated because you're going to continue to work. You're going to continue to have an income. Did you also say you're also going to take your pension as well?
Yeah, the 457B is separate from my pension. I did that on my own.
Yeah, so you've got this $130,000 in your your 457.
Correct.
You could, and how much is the mortgage? How much is the balance left?
It's about 82,000. That'll pay it off, and that'll, we have a car we bought. That'll pay the car. That'll pay off everything. We'll be debt free.
Okay, I love the thought of doing that. It's a key tenet to retiring early, but it's a tax nightmare if you do it from a retirement plan. So my rule of thumb is, if you can pay off the mortgage with non-tax money, if you can take a third, and in your case, I'd even be more liberal with that because you have a pension that's kicking in, you're still working. I'd say even up to half of your non-IRA, non-retirement money, if you take half of it, pay off the mortgage and still have half left, I'd say go ahead and do it tomorrow. But
okay.
It sounds like most of your investment savings is retirement money based. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got money in savings, but I don't have enough in it to pay the house off.
Right. So it would run you dry on the non-retirement money side to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So and you don't want to do it. So you don't want to do it for your non-retirement money because you need that as it's almost the most sacred money you can get to without paying taxes. And you don't want to use your retirement money because every dollar you pull out is like another dollar in your paycheck. So now you got a pension, you're going to work, you're going to continue to work, and then you pull another 100 grand out, your adjusted gross income is going to go through the roof.
Correct.
So you're going to go from like a 20% tax bracket to who knows, 30 or even more. So the answer here is, I think, really straightforward for your initial question. Absolutely do not. In my opinion, do not use the 457 money to pay off the mortgage. Okay.
Okay.
However, because you are going to continue to work and you're getting a pension, I would just hyper accelerate the payments with your pension money because you have no choice but to pay taxes on that anyway. It's already coming to you.
Okay.
You might as well now use that money. Maybe you double the mortgage payment every month, because now you've got all this money coming in, you're going to work somewhere else. It's more important. It's still important to get rid of the mortgage. Just use your extra. I would continue to make my normal payments on the mortgage and then take my entire pension that comes in every month and then throw that onto the mortgage so that you can pay the whole thing off in a much more accelerated way than the amortization schedule says to do it. But it might take you 3, 4, 5 years to do that, which is a much more tax-friendly way to do it, as opposed to just taking a huge chunk out of the 457.
Okay, well that's why I'm asking you, because that's a big question that we had.
Yep. So that's how I would tackle this thing, and thanks for your call, man. Hopefully that helps.
It does. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Have a great rest of your Sunday, Sean. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We're going to continue to go to the phones. And I mentioned the importance of getting rid of the mortgage. I love it. It is one of the most important components of an early retirement. And I love to see folks paying that off early. You just don't want to do it to the expense of you don't want a hyper acceleration in your adjusted gross income in any given year. That's just giving the IRS money and the government money that you don't need to do. So again, I mentioned this as part of in You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think, the book that I wrote for early retirees or really anybody thinking about retirement, particularly those thinking in your early 60s, one of the core tenets, the 5 money secrets of the happiest retirees. Happy retirees get their mortgage paid off either before they retire or within a few years of retirement, because they get rid of the biggest bill and that debt overhang that is so financially heavy for most Americans. And when you get rid of it, it's a blessing, and it makes everything a whole lot easier. So there's and I've mentioned this last couple of weeks on the show. You can find the book, You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think. You can find it at retiresoonerbook.com. It's actually cheaper. We actually are doing this. It's our own webpage, so you don't even have to go to Amazon. It's cheaper here than it is on Amazon, and it's actually free shipping. So the paperback is $9.99. The audio CD, so you can listen to the car as a couple, or $12.99. If you can put the two together, audio CDs and paperback, a lot of couples will do this. And all for under $20 online at retiresoonerbook.com. Quick, easy way to do it. And again, free shipping. The website to get the book that way, again, retiresoonerbook.com. We're going to continue to go to the phones here. Scott joins us from Douglasville. Hey, Scott, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. How can we help?
Good morning, Wes. I love your show, and your book was very uplifting.
Thanks, man. Thank you. Appreciate it.
My question is I'm getting profit sharing bonus, and we have the opportunity to put a portion into a 401k with match. And I've got all of my retirement savings is all that tax deferred. Would it be any benefit to me from now until I retire to put maybe just this little portion every year into a Roth 401k so that I have some money outside of just savings that's
that you can get to without having to pay taxes, really? Yeah, so that's right, what you're right. saying. Okay,
yeah.
So you already have regular retirement, traditional retirement money, 401k, IRA.
Right.
And how old are you, Scott?
I'm 57.
So usually I say when you get to be really close to retirement, it's not as... The advantages of the Roth have waned a little bit. The real advantage is, hey, when you're in your 20s, you start a Roth, it grows tax deferred, and then comes out tax free. You got all this time for it to cook, essentially, and grow.
Right.
But, you know, in your case, because it's so, and the last caller we just talked to, this came up too, it's about getting to money that is non-tax. If you get to retirement, would you rather have $1 million in just a regular IRA or $500,000 in non-IRA, $500,000 in an IRA? Still $1 million.
Right.
But you'd rather have the combination because you want a portion of it to you can get to. If you've got a new, hey, I got to put on a new roof. It's 30 grand, 20 grand. Dave Baker would tell me what it costs to get a new roof. He's not on the show this morning. He's texting me like a schoolgirl today. But, you want to be able to get to that money. So I would tell you that to do this now, even though you're in your later 50s, mid to late 50s, yes, it's a good idea to get that Roth funded because that's an additional vehicle you can get to in retirement when it comes to big one-time expenses so that you don't have to pay a big tax bill like the prior caller that we talked about not doing this to pay off your mortgage. It just accelerates your tax bracket. You're listening to Money Matters. We're going to continue to go to the phones here, 404-872-0750. Stay tuned. More Money Matters right here at WSB Radio. Straight ahead.
Atlanta's 24-hour news button is News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Depend on it.
I'm Mary.
AM 750 WSB. Now back to Wes Moss of the money and investing advice you need.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Right back to the phones here. The number 404-872-0750. Barry joins us from McDonough. Barry, what's going on? How can we help?
Hey, good morning. I want to say, first off, I did learn a little bit from Dave, but not much.
I love that. Well, I think little bit is the operative word here when it comes to Dave Baker.
I love Dave Baker. I got two things. I think the Edward Jones account, from years ago I had an IRA, and I've never paid much attention to it, but I heard you this morning talk about, you know, rolling things. I guess I don't know if I'm paying high fees on an Edward Jones account because I've never paid attention to it, and it's not a big amount of money. But should I roll that over to a Schwab or a Vanguard?
Yeah, I think if you've got Barry, if you've got a couple extra 401 or let's call them retirement accounts or Roth accounts, you're a lot better off getting all the stragglers into one big basket, if you will. Because the tax treatment in one IRA is the same as it is in 5 or 10 IRAs, so you might as well consolidate them. You don't necessarily even have to change what the investment is, Barry. Let's say you own Apple inside that retirement account over at Edward Jones, and you still want to hold Apple, okay? You can just move it to your current larger IRA. You don't have to sell it. So the consolidation of this is, in my opinion, a no-brainer. So yes, if you have some small straggling retirement accounts out there, and $65,000 isn't necessarily a small account, Get it into one larger IRA so you can keep your eye on the ball. And again, it's nice to do a review. Maybe it is in some sort of high-cost mutual fund over at Edward Jones, and you want to move it to your Schwab IRA where you can have a much lower cost, more efficient investment. You're listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss. Stay tuned. Your calls and questions in the bottom of the half hour, straight ahead. Ooh, yeah, but I can't
go for that. WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here. WSB Radio, Wes Moss here every Sunday morning to take your calls and to take your questions. So many good calls today. It's something about a foggy, rainy day that we're just hunkered down. We're listening to some Money Matters, and we're trying to figure out all the things we've been thinking about in 2018. So good morning. Welcome to the show here. And just a wild year so far. I opened up the show in the 9 o'clock hour. For those of you just tuning in, really very rare that we have seen a year with this much activity market-wise on the upside as we're seeing right here in 2018. So here we are, it's 2018, and the S&P 500 is up about 7.5%, same with the Dow Jones. So if you break out the stock, the Stock Traders Almanac that I get a new copy for every year. This one's on my desk. This started back in the early 70s. The almanac's been around for a very long time. And if you go back to data all the way to 1950 until last year, the January barometer, and this is the phrase you might have heard this before, so goes January, so goes the market. So the market's down in January, it's bad news, and we have a high propensity to see a negative year for the entire year. A good January, high propensity to see a solid or up or positive year. And that and here's how accurate that is. You go back to 1950, the January barometer has been wrong only 9 times in 68 years. 68 years. 87% accuracy. So here we are. Up 7.5% to start the year. January is not even over. So according to the Stock Traders Almanac, according to history, their math is on our side for a positive year for the stock market, a positive year for equities. I do take these with a little bit of a grain of salt. It is math, and to some extent, there's so many things that can happen in the market. You and I both know that, and the market doesn't abide to history, but it does give us a good guide, and it's important to understand where we are in the cycle. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We're going to continue to go to the phones here. So many great calls and questions. We believe that we are the most objective financial advice show that you can find. I don't care where it is. I don't care if it's a podcast coming out of Australia or Washington State or a live radio show like we do here every Sunday morning from 9 to 11 on WSB Radio here, broadcasting live from Atlanta. But we are going to give you our best objective opinion on how you can move forward with your financial question, whether it's a pension question or a Roth question. Or, hey, I've got this IRA. What should I do with it? Should I roll it over to my current 401k or my new IRA or some place else, or how do I invest my TSP account? So there are so many, or maybe it's even a mortgage or refinance question, or a stock or a mutual fund or an exchange traded fund, ETF question, or maybe it's just about the economy and the outlook for what we see over the course of the next year. That's what we're here on Sunday mornings. We love obviously doing this and helping folks on Sunday morning. So with that, the number in the studio, 404-872-0750. 4040750 is the number in the studio. Again, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We're going to start with Jim, who joins us from Lilburn. Good morning, Jim. Welcome to the show. What's going on? How can I help?
Well, I am 61 years old, 1 or 2 years away from retirement, and I'll be receiving a pension that will cover all my expenses, but I shouldn't have to pay more than about 3% of what I've saved for expenses. And I've read about and thought about the bucket approach. Right now I have like 70% in stocks and 30% in bonds. But if you have enough in bonds or fairly safe investments for 3 to 5 years, doesn't really matter what your investment mix after that. And what kind of bonds would you suggest in a bonds mix?
Okay, so let me describe a little bit more to our listeners, Jim, what your bigger question here is. So first of all, to paint the picture here, you're 61 and you are arguably a pretty early retiree. So you're done working, correct?
1 to 2 more years working.
Well, only 1 to 2 more years. Okay.
Right.
And then when the pension kick, are you already taking the pension?
No.
Okay, but it will. Okay, so let's call it in 2 years, the pension fully kicks in, and then at some point you can also take Social Security. So
right.
And what you're saying is that's enough income that in order to fill the gap, in order to fill that extra spending above the pension and Social Security, you only need to take about 3% a year of your investments, correct?
Or less, or possibly.
Or even less, which is a super low, and I would say conservative withdrawal rate that you should be able to do in perpetuity. You can live 100 more years, Jim. And if you're only taking out 3%, you should be able to earn that just in income, quite frankly, every year and never have to touch your principal, which is exactly the position you want to be when you're in retirement. The question, though, I think what you're saying is that, okay, I only need to take 3%, but if I'm using the bucket approach, what are the percentages I need in each bucket? And as a quick reminder for those folks who don't know what that is, there are four buckets. Cash is cash, income, growth, and alternative income. There's four main areas in the world that you can put money, liquid money, to invest. So this doesn't count your house. This doesn't count the value of your business. These are liquid investments where you can put money to work inside your IRA. It can be in cash. It can be the income bucket, which are primarily various types of bonds or fixed income. Low risk, a little bit of income, non-market related, non-stock market related. You own bonds today for stability, protection, and a little bit of current income, a little bit of interest. The growth bucket is pretty complex because it's various stock related investments. On the growth side, you're going to have companies that don't pay a dividend that you expect to appreciate, or my philosophy has to do more with dividend paying companies. So think utilities, energy companies, older line technology companies that are more established that pay 2 and 3% dividends per year. So that's the growth bucket. That's the riskiest place we can have our money because stocks are a lot riskier than bonds typically. And then we have the alternative income bucket, which is this is where you put everything that isn't quite a stock or a bond. So think of REITs, real estate investment trusts, closed-end funds, MLPs, which are pipeline companies, preferred stocks. These are all these other areas that are super important for income investors. But they're not quite a traditional stock, not quite a traditional bond. That's the bucket approach. Question, though, from Jim is what's the percentage? And if you only need 3%, Jim, the ideal scenario that I like to see is the income that gets produced in combination from all those buckets. And let's just say for now, cash doesn't pay. Really, you can get about 1% in cash, but let's say zero there. So just the three investment-oriented buckets, income, growth, and alternative income, I would say that to have 70% in the growth side and 30% of the bond side, is fairly aggressive, and you're going to see some fluctuation because when markets finally do get back to normal volatility and they start to, we have a 10% correction, a 20% drawdown. When you have 70%+ inside the growth bucket, you're going to see a big fluctuation in the value. That's okay as long as you're prepared for some volatility. The good news about the growth bucket is that if you focus on the dividend side of the ledger, then what you're owning inside of that growth bucket, the dividends themselves, along with, can be easily 2.5% all the way up to 4.5%. Some of these utility companies are well above 4% annual dividends per year on a percentage basis. So if you think of, and I don't want you to own all utility companies because I think that you have to have more diversification from that, more diversification than just utilities, especially in a rising interest rate environment like we're going into. But if you look at all of, if you look at in combination, hey, what's my growth bucket doing? You want that kicking out 3% a year, and you want the bond bucket or the income bucket that has various bonds to be producing around 3% a year. So on that side of the ledger, Jim, 30%, in that 30%, I would keep those bonds relatively high quality, relatively short term. And that's going to mean that your interest rate, the interest you get from the bonds, it's not tremendous right now. Call it around 3%, 3.5%. That's the floating rate bonds, which are a little bit more high yield. So there's a little bit lower on the credit spectrum. Floating rate bonds pay over 4% a year. So think about putting them as a combination together. You're getting 3.5% from the income bucket. You're getting close to 3% from the growth bucket, just in interest, just in dividends, just in cash flow. And in my opinion, even though 70% is kind of high for the income, for the growth bucket, 70% in stocks when you go into retirement, it's a little bit high. But if you only need that 3%, then you're never really worried about the fluctuation. At least that's how I see it. So I think that is okay. You had said, hey, I've got around 70% in the growth bucket. I think that that's fine. I think it's on the high side. I think that's about as much as you want to go into the growth bucket. Doesn't give you a tremendous buffer, but it's still balanced enough that it gives you a protection when markets fluctuate. So you want your income bucket to actually be stable, maybe actually go up a little bit in price while the growth bucket fluctuates a little bit. But the key here, Jim, is that the combination of those three main investment buckets, they're going to be kicking out just in cash flow as much or more than you need in order to fill the spending gap on top of your pension and on top of Social Security. And that is a strategy, my friend, that I think I like a lot. And I think it works. I've seen it work for decades. And there's no reason it shouldn't continue to work for decades to come. Jim from Lilburn, thank you for your call. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. If you want to find me and the Money Matters team, easy to do so. You can find us at WesMoss.com, WESMOSS.com. We mentioned we just launched a couple of weeks ago a brand new website that you can find. You can retire sooner than you think, the book, directly. So you don't even have to go to Amazon. It's actually less expensive than Amazon. And that's RetireSoonerBook.com. There are audio CDs. So you can listen in the car for $12.99. The paperback is $9.99. And this is all with free shipping. Or if you want to have paperback plus audio CDs, under 20 bucks at RetireSoonerBook.com. That's RetireSoonerBook.com. More Money Matters right here. News 95.5, AM 750, WSB. Straight ahead. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Ryan Ealy, time for a weekend prize pack, right?
The weekend prize pack is a family four-pack of tickets to Clark Howard Night at the Atlanta Gladiators game on Saturday, February 3rd at Infinite Energy Arena, and a pair of tickets to see Daryl Hall and John Oates and Train on June 20th at Infinite Energy Arena. This week's trivia question, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has officially called the Eastern Cougar extinct. One hasn't been seen for about 100 years. Sad news from last month, but can you tell me what genus is the Eastern cougar classified in? What is the genus? The hint is it's an Italian brand name, more familiar than probably a genus.
Wow. I feel like I'm at Morningside science class right now.
It was a pretty big throwback trivia question.
Whoa. I feel like I'm in science class. One of my sons right now is doing the genus and the species and the family right now. And that's where I feel like I'm doing science homework, Ryan. Thank you. Well, with that, the prize line, 404-741-0750. An awful lot happening. There's a Clark Howard night. Is that what that is?
That is correct. Clark Howard night at the Atlanta Gladiators, Saturday, February 3rd.
Man, Clark Howard's got a night. You would think Dave Baker would have his own night, wouldn't you? Is there any Dave Baker night?
Now, that's a good question for the powers that be.
Man, I would think there'd be like just maybe nobody would show up if it's a Dave Baker night is probably what would happen. They probably tried to do a Dave Baker night. And then people are like, what do you mean Dave Baker night? I'm going to the Clark Howard night. Anyway, what a fun morning here on Money Matters. Thank you for all your calls and questions. And even though we didn't have Dave Baker in the studio, he is, I think I'm actually going to have to pay him for all the usage of his name today in Money Matters. At least that's what he texted me. I think maybe his attorney did. So good morning. Thank you for joining in Money Matters. To find me and the Money Matters team, it's easy to do so. Go to wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. There's a contact button upper right-hand corner that says contact, and if you're on your mobile phone, it's just an envelope, a red envelope. Those emails come straight to me and the Money Matters team. We're happy to answer your questions throughout the week, or if you need to get more in-depth, happy, of course, to do that as well when it comes to early retirement and your investments. Enjoy the rest of this rainy, foggy day. Stay tuned to the best programming on the planet right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.